Good morning, Central Park. Hey, it's great to be with you. Sorry we are in mode again today. I know, I hope and pray that you're safe, you're warm, you're enjoying this service from the nice, warm comforts of your home. And we'll be back again Sunday. We're just praying for safety for you guys, and that's kind of why we took this day for us to just actually sit back and stay out of the cold, avoid the snow and the ice. It's kind of difficult out there right now. So I hope and pray that you're home and having a great morning. If you read the previous post where we announced that we closed, one of the things I told you to do was just sit down in your PJs, watch church, grab a bowl of cereal, by the way, do you have your favorite bowl of cereal? Do you have your favorite type of cereal? I don't know, Captain Crunch, Fruit Loops, all those sugary ones, or are you more of the healthy grape nuts? Those things are the most disgusting things on the planet. Grape nuts cereal is gross. And I know some of you may love them, great, but I can't stand them. And I'm sure now you're going to be buying me grape nuts cereal and all this mess and putting it on my desk. And thank you, but no thank you. Because we'll just put them right in the food pantry and send them on. I'm not going to mess with them. But in the text today, Acts chapter 6, we see two groups of people playing favorites. And they didn't want to do anything to do with the other group. And so what really began to happen was the church in Acts chapter 6 began to just explode. And we're going to talk about the ways that that kind of happened for them and the ways that it changed who they were and what they became all about as far as service. Now, if you remember the past couple of weeks, we've been going through Unchristian. That's been the title of our series, and we're talking about specifically today Unchristian service. We've talked about faith. A faith that is an unchristian faith, rather, is a faith that is shallow or it's stale. An unchristian discipleship is a relationship that is just based out of your wants and your needs, and it's really one-sided. It's your preference. An unchristian discipleship marks this failed attempt to grow throughout the year. And unchristian service is truly serving ourselves before serving others. Central Park is not about a facility or a structure. It's not about the location of the church. I think the unique thing about Central Park is that it is and always will be about our people. And so today I want to challenge you to just simply be the church. Be the kind of church that reaches out to other people. Be the kind of church that makes a difference in faith and discipleship and service. So today we're going to talk about what it means to simply be the church. Now, like I said before, the church was exploding in Acts 6. People were connecting to the church. They were connecting, and we saw this massively rapid growth taking place. That this eventually led to the very first church fight. Can you imagine the shot heard around the world? It's the very first church fight, and we see them continuing on and on and on today. What if, just for example, the doors of the church were opened and 400 new people walked in to the church? Think of all of the issues that you would have just even at Central Park alone. If 400 new people just walked in, you're going to have seating issues. You're going to have communion issues, music, teaching, baptism. Today we have fire codes, all of those things that we have to worry about, security issues, and all of that mess. Just think of the logistics from getting to all of those things out of the way so you can just simply sit back and worship God and enjoy that time. So you can see how quickly that would become a struggle, particularly for the leadership and the membership of the church. And you can see how much pain and struggle and strife that could cause. As most would do, I think they helped those they knew, in the text. For example, you would be more inclined to help your neighbors than to help people down the street that you don't know. I mean, that's just normal. And so I think they were helping people. It's just natural for us to help those that are closest to us. And the issue in Acts chapter 6 is food. We love to eat. We are an eating out culture. We need to eat. Without food, right? We die. This was life and death issues for the people of Acts chapter 6. And so they were struggling. And Acts 6 talks about the daily distribution. You ever been to a sporting event where they throw those t-shirts or mini footballs or basketballs out into the crowd? Man, I get gypped every time. I never catch one of those things. Never get a t-shirt, never get the footballs or the baseballs. Anything they throw in the crowd, they're going to throw it, three sections over. They're going to miss me. Now, that in my professional opinion, that whole thing is rigged. Because they see somebody in the crowd they know. They see somebody in the crowd that they like, that they agree with, or maybe they were just told by their supervisors, hey, use those sections, whatever. But it's rigged because I never catch one of those freebies. You see, the same is true with that daily distribution. Some of them were just simply being overlooked. They were struggling with just being neglected. They were not Hebrew in the sense, and they were not being taken care of by the church like they should have been. So basically, the daily distribution was for widows, orphans, and needy families. This is the church's primary duty. It's the primary thing the church should be doing. If you can imagine going to church for help and simply being turned away because all of the food had been given away to those who may not need it. I've done food distributions, and one here recently was on a massive scale, and it was a drive-through because COVID, you can't go into do a regular building one anymore. And I saw people driving through the line. They had all kinds of different cars and all kinds of different, trucks and vehicles and all those things. And I was standing there with some people, and all of a sudden they began complaining. Well, wait a minute. That guy driving a Cadillac, does he really need the food distribution? Or that person with the great big jacked up Ford, pickup truck, do they really need it? And so they began to pick and choose who they were going to serve. Now, everybody's needs that day got met. No one got turned away. All the food was distributed evenly. But yet there were still some that were, complaining and trying to pick and choose who got the food. Now, if you could imagine going to the church and asking for help and being turned away because all the food had been given away to those who may not need it. It was, in this sense, it was about who you knew, not how great your need was. So some translations of the text say that the widows and orphans were being discriminated against. Most translations state that they were just merely overlooked, stating that it wasn't an intentional thing, that it was more of an accidental situation. I don't think this was accidental, honestly. It was blatant. It was obvious that the Hellenists, the outsiders of the church, were being pushed away because they were different. So you have this daily distribution, and then you have this money issue. Money it's part of the church life. It's something that we can't get away from. It's part of it. Now, the church in this day and age, in Acts 6, didn't have this line item budget for benevolence or food pantry or giving. They didn't have a set amount for missions. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we need those things. And I understand the need to track those funds. And both were dealing with life and death. The leaders were leading people from this spiritual death into spiritual life. And then in the church, that's what's taking place. And people were coming into the church. And then down in here, they began to struggle and fight with one another. And the volunteers that were serving in the daily distribution were leading people from physical death back to life. Now, the point of this text is simple. Life and death, physical and spiritual. And it's saying that those are too important to pick and choose who in the church gets help and who does not. And so the problem is that there are so many needs. Who gets help? Which need do you meet in your life? So if you could imagine increasing numbers from 120 to 3,000, from 5,000 to 10,000, and how that has a huge organizational impact, and you see the need increase for the daily distribution, and you see the need for spiritual guidance continuing, and all of the things that were happening in the life of the church. And unfortunately, all of those things were being neglected. Now, you suddenly are more concerned with mission-specific issues, meaning if this were to happen in today's day and age, in Acts chapter 6, you're going to see more people coming to church. So you're going to focus in on the things that they're going to come into contact with. So you're going to focus in on preaching, teaching, leadership, and baptism, communion, all of those things that we do. And I think what would naturally be left is the benevolent side of it and the meeting the physical needs of people. The first century church was no different. So as the church got too big, they had to make these structural changes. And so they sat back and they said, here, we're going to continue this mission critical areas of church, get help, enlist others to serve and be devoted to the ministry and to prayer. So that's what they did. But in order to ensure the continued growth, the disciples called the first ever congregational meeting, the second shot heard around the world, because man, not only did you have the first fight, but now you got the first congregational meeting. And it's been that way ever since. That's what we do. If we have something to discuss, we call everybody. They come in, we talk, we sit down, we write it out, we figure it out, we put in a mission statement, a vision statement, values, core values, and then we start working from there. That's kind of how the church has become this operational thing. But out of that meeting, out of that very first one, the benevolence team was created. You see, the leaders, who, by the way, were amazing because they had their ears to the ground of this ministry. They saw and heard the struggles. They said, you know what? Look, we are not designed this way. You ever sit back and think, you know what? I'd really like to teach in the nursery. No, you probably haven't, because maybe you're not built that way. Maybe have you ever sat back and said, you know what? I want to lead worship on Sunday. No, that's not your specific talent. Well, what is your specific talent? And just like these 12, they had their own talents that they had in service to the kingdom. And so here they are leading people spiritually, they're discipling people, they're doing all of those things, but it wasn't for them to lead the food distribution. So I said, look, pick seven people and let them take care of it. The coolest part of this text for me is this. The leaders basically said, hey, look, we're not going to stop doing what we're doing. So get it figured out. That's amazing. The leaders finally said, you know what? This is too important for us to be dealing with physical, spiritual issues to deal with this. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to empower you and give you the authority to do this ministry. That's the most frustrating thing for me in church today. When we ask somebody to do something in church and service to God, and we don't give them the authority or the power to make those decisions in that ministry. It puts a stranglehold on it. And so, in the meanwhile, what's happening? People were suffering. People were struggling. Their needs were not being met. That's not being the church. Being the church looks at that daily distribution. Being the church looks at that physical and spiritual need that has to be met in your life. Being the church says, I care about your needs, and I want to help meet those needs. That's part of who we are. See, the cool part is they said, you know what, get it figured out. We're behind you 100%. We trust you to get it taken care of. But the moral of the story is this: don't complain because you might get chosen to serve on a committee. Well, that's just the plain truth. One of the greatest things I can ever do is if someone comes to me and says, hey, we got this issue, I said, okay, get it figured out. Congratulations, you own that ministry now. Figure it out. Give me some solutions. How can we solve this? The moral of the story is the church is too big. And Dustin and I, and we can't do it alone. The elders, we can't do it alone. The deacons, we can't do it alone. You must help us. If you want Central Park to grow, help us. If you want the kingdom of God to grow, help yourselves, help others. That's the transitional point. It's very clear. If you want Central Park to grow, help us. If you want the kingdom of God to grow, help yourselves, help others. I think through this ministry, God has given us lives are being transformed. I'm sure our sign still says transformed by Christ to transform the world. That's what we seek to do. Now, true ministry, let me just give you a couple things here. First of all, true ministry always begins by connecting people with the truth of Jesus Christ. You see, it's about Jesus Christ. It's not about Central Park. It's not about my favorite seat. It's not about all of the stuff that my family has brought to this church. It's not about all of the stuff that we've done from that point on to this point. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about one opportunity to connect people to the truth of Jesus Christ. If we're not doing that, we're not transforming ourselves, and we're definitely not transforming the world. Secondly, when the church is doing ministry the right way, people will know that God hangs out here, that God loves us, that God is growing Central Park. When the church is doing ministry right, people will come out of the woodwork to see it, to experience it, to be part of it. That's what we hope for. And third, ministry always involves eternal life. If we're not doing ministry with eternal life in mind, not just food and not just water, but eternal life, then we're missing the boat. So my simple request for you today is why not let Christ meet your needs? Do you have a physical need today? Maybe you're struggling with something going on in your life, and whatever that is, we want to pray with you. We want to be part of what's happening in your life. We are just excited about the opportunity. Someone just posted Cheerios is their favorite cereal. Okay. It has to be Honey Nut Cheerios, okay? But see, there we go again. We're going to pick sides. And I would love to see that massive influx of people. But I think what we need to do is realize that Christ is here to meet our needs. You see, not our wants, our needs, those physical and spiritual. And so, what I encourage you to do today is just simply take a few moments and spend that time with Him in prayer today. Not during this service, just find some time, either this afternoon or this morning, maybe even this evening, and spend some time asking God to meet your physical and your spiritual needs. Because I guarantee you, He's put people in your life that want to help you with your physical needs. I guarantee you that He's sitting there waiting for you, that if you have a spiritual need, maybe you're here, maybe you're listening for the very first time, and you've never considered giving your life to Christ. Maybe you're here today and you have given your life to Christ, and it just seems like it's been one of those rocky road moments where you just can't seem to get on track, and nothing feels right. Maybe it's time to go back to that. Maybe you've been struggling with that physical or spiritual need for a while, and you know Christ has the answer. You're just waiting for that answer. Let's continue lifting that up in prayer. Whatever that is, we want to be part of that journey, that part of that experience with you. Because here's the reality. We are the church, and we want you to be the church. See, Christ is waiting for you to come, to experience His love, His grace, His mercy. And in Acts chapter 6, after the 12 disciples picked and told them to go choose the seven, they say this: "We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what that did in that moment is it grounded their faith of the church. It said the most important thing, the priority of the church should simply be to devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Are you reaching people today? Are you sharing that love of Christ with each other? See, that's what we hope for you. That's what we want you to be able to do. And I want you to find Christian service today. Will you reach out and share your faith with someone today? Will you be able to simply say, you know what, Christ loves you beyond measure. We want to meet your physical and spiritual needs. Won't you find a way to do that today? Thank you so much for the example of Acts chapter 6, where it shows us the way to meet the physical and spiritual needs of those around us, and the way that you, Father, have already been working in the lives of your people, and the way that you're working through Central Park to grow the church, to open the doors to people, to let them know that we love them, that we're there for them, but first and foremost, that you love them and that you are there for them. Father, walk with us this week. Father, we look forward to spending that quality time with you in prayer today. As we move forward, help us to be a church that recognizes the needs of our community, that recognizes the needs of our people. And we look forward to serving them as we serve you. Father, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, God bless you. We look forward to seeing you soon. Take care, be safe, stay warm. And if you have a need, just drop a need down in the comments, or you can message me, and we'd love to be working with you and praying for you for whatever you're going through. God bless you. Take care. Have a blessed day.